everyone. Welcome to another episode of Chefs and Lambos by Chef David Hill. This is episode 14, and we have a guest here that's very similar to my lifestyle of doing private events. Chef, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Chef Sam Sorensen.
I don't know what else to say. Well, Sam, let me start here. Like, what brings you to Florida? Were you born and raised here? Where are you from originally?
So I'm actually from Minnesota. I grew up there. I lived there till I was like 13. And then my family moved down here. And obviously when you're 13 and your family moves, you move with them.
You didn't have a choice.
Nah, yeah. But I love it here. So, you know, that's pretty cool.
And what area were you in? Fort Myers?
I was in Cape Coral, actually.
Cape Coral. And is that where you're at now?
I'm in Fort Myers now, actually.
Okay. So, okay. Because that commute, boy, that Cape.
Cape is
that
rough.
That bridge will get you.
Oh, yeah, for sure, man. For sure.
When you were, like, growing up as a young kid, what made you feel like you wanted to be a chef, or what was your...
Well, to be honest with you, growing up, I didn't want to be a chef at all. Like, it wasn't, like, a thought in my head, like... I grew up kind of like poor, like lower, you know, middle class kind of thing. Uh-huh. And my family thought like Olive Garden was fancy, like that kind of stuff. Grew up on like McDonald's and like Stouffer's and stuff like that. Uh-huh. So I actually wanted to be a tattoo artist and like an artist. I went to art school.
Okay.
I didn't decide to be a chef until a lot later when I kind of fell into it.
So, okay. But like what was your like liking that you knew you had this kind of skill to do it?
So later, like I was like 20, 21, something like that. I moved to New York with my wife, my fiance at the time, wife.
Yeah.
And I started working in this restaurant and I saw like how people were and how service went and like how really good food is.
Uh-huh.
And that's what made me want to be a chef. You know, it was something practical. It was something artistic. It was creative. It left a lot of room for like change and stuff, you know, there's something to learn from it. You know, if you keep going, you're always going to have something to learn and to gain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what got me into it.
What was the cuisine? Like, what kind of food were they serving?
So that was Budokan, New York.
Oh, yeah, I know that place.
So it's you know, Cantonese, traditional Chinese. It's kind of like a fusion of American style stuff, too.
Right.
So it was like the wok cooking, the dim sum, the... You know, the fish station where they carve the fish every day, where they're doing Peking ducks in the back, like that kind of food. And
right.
It was like 1,200 covers average a night. And I was like, I was in it. It was awesome. You know,
when you started, where were you? Was it like Garmage or where were you in the production part of it?
So the first station I ever worked was the dim sum station.
Okay.
So I was responsible for all the dumplings, you know, like just executing them. They had like, you know, 10, 15 people that would come in and make dumplings all day and then like whatever.
Okay.
But yeah, that was the first thing I did. Garmage 2, that was after, which is kind of backwards, but that's how it worked out for me.
Okay.
I did the fish station, I did the meat station, and I did a little bit of the wok station too. But
how long would they keep you at each station before you moved up or whatever? How did that work?
It really depended. Like it depends on who you are, what your interests were. I was just starting out, so I didn't really know anything, you know. So I was on the dim sum station probably like 6 months or something like that. And then I would just kind of like, when we were slow or whatever, just kind of like go around other stations and figure stuff out. And they saw me take an interest in it and kind of help me progress, you know?
Right.
And there was a lot of like really talented cooks there too that like,
oh, I'm sure,
you know, they see you want to do something. They're from like CIA or like Johnson & Wales or whatever. What is it? ICE up there too. Like, you know, there's a lot of, you know, good schools up there and the kids like, they want to teach you something because that's how they learn too. So I was very fortunate with that.
I imagine at a restaurant like that, there's not too much creative freedom because you're following that same menu year round, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's seasonal a little bit. Do they change it a little bit?
Yeah, they do like different dumplings. They'll do different specials. It's probably like twice a year they change. I'm not sure anymore.
Yeah, because it's
been like a long time. But yeah, it wasn't a lot of creative freedom, but for me, that was fine because I was learning, you know.
Uh-huh.
I didn't need creative freedom. I needed to learn how to do this thing.
Right.
Go
right.
From there, you know.
And then when you were in that kind of like level of learning, did you actually go to culinary school?
Nope. I never went to culinary school. By the time I started thinking about it, I talked to some of my chefs, like some of the people I really respected there. And they were like, why would you do that? Like, you already have knife skills. You already like have a basic understanding of like sauces and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, just keep working on that. Do your own stuff. And they're having me like turn potatoes and stuff at this place. Like they were helping me with that. Like, So I kind of got like on the job, you know, training there. And it was really cool because they didn't have to do that for me.
You know?
But they did. They would have me write like reports on like salts or like different butters and stuff like that. And it's like, thank you for taking the time to do that. Like,
wow.
You know, if they ever see this.
That sounds like a good experience.
It was, yeah. And I've tried to do that same kind of thing for people, you know, now, because that was awesome.
Now, what about like with that? I know like that food is a certain style. So where did you kind of get well-rounded where you're just not fusion Japanese and doing?
Well, okay. So after that, I took an interest in, you know, cooking, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Before that, I'd worked at another, like I'd worked at a paleo place too, Kitchen off of Fifth Avenue, New York City. I kind of learned about that kind of cuisine. That's totally different, obviously, but
right.
I learned about that. That was kind of more American focused. And then, so I kind of had that background. I'm German Norwegian. So I have a little bit of that in the back of my, back of my repertoire. After that, I worked at like, you know, and this is skipping around a bit, but it was like, I worked at Il Buco Elementari. That's in New York. That's Italian food. That's Michelin recommended. I worked at, City Vineyard. I worked at Terroir Tribeca. It's kind of more tapas style food. I've just worked in a couple different places that really, they help me hone different skills.
Yeah.
You know? And then catering, you kind of have to do everything.
Right.
So that kind of, you know, made me pick up the stuff I didn't have already, you know? It's not like I'm an expert or anything, but,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot to be said about catering. Especially.
In the New York area, I know it's like a constant grind where it's always busy. Mm-hmm. But out of all those places, which one did the most volume?
Budokan, 100%.
Yeah, that's what I would guess.
Budokan did the most. But it didn't feel like it as much because you had like 12 line cooks. You had two or three sous chefs. You had prep guys in the back. You had the chef, the expediting, you know, the executive chef or the executive sous, whoever was there. But then there's like those smaller ones that I worked at that were, you're like one of two line cooks, you know, and there's no prep guy. So it's like two of you getting like destroyed and you have to like keep going, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess it really depends on what you're doing and how many people you're doing, you know, because 40 could feel like a lot if you're by yourself.
You know, of course.
So, I don't know.
When you were kind of like going through all the cooking and learning all that stuff, did you have like an idea in your head of what you wanted to be as far as like future wise, like as far as like either a restaurant chef or, hey, I want to own a catering company. Did you have an idea or like a goal?
I mean, I've had a lot of goals and it's like, I try to take goals, you know, I have a 5-year goal. I have a 1-year goal, stuff like that. Coming up, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do because I had experience like restaurants. I hadn't done the country club thing yet. I've done that in Florida. And I've seen like a little bit of catering. Like I did some catering with Who Kitchen. We did like corporate events, stuff like that, but it wasn't really until I got down here until I saw it. And at that point I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I haven't really known exactly this is what I want to do until the last couple months, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I really made my mind up.
And then when you leave from New York to arrive here, What'd you think of the food scene here? Like what were your thoughts? Because, I mean, it's so different.
It's a lot different.
So different.
Yeah. So in New York, there's like, there's that high seasonality, you know. I used to go to the Union Square Green Market all the time because I love it. And I think it's one of the best places in the world, honestly.
Okay.
So up there, it's like when you're a sous chef or like whatever, you have to go there in certain restaurants and pick up stuff every single day. And that's what you come up with a special for. And you can do that like home cooking too. Like you're going to see these squashes you've never seen before. You're going to see herbs you've like never seen because there's this guy in Vermont who's making them for some reason.
Right.
And you just kind of get to play with them. Yeah.
Some reason.
But you're like, wow, thanks for doing that.
Yeah.
You know? And then you come down here and it's like,
seasonal,
this is what the people want.
Yeah.
And this is what you're going to give them. And it's like what you do to make it different is really like the only difference. Like there's a lot of good food here. You know, there is. There's a lot of, you know, really great chefs here. There's a lot of cool people. But like the clientele, some of them are very stuck in what they want. And that's
right.
Okay.
Right.
You know, that's what
right.
it is.
Right, right.
So it's just, it was a big jump. And I was used to it because I'm, you know, lived here. But like it's a big jump from do literally anything to like you're going to do this. But kind of do it however you want to do it. You know what I mean?
Okay. So a little bit of freedom.
Yeah. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. No, it does. But see, like, I'm from Michigan, and I thought, like, the biggest change was just like the ingredients. You're gonna work with mangoes, papayas, you know, it's all tropical. And like from up north, we're doing like apples and cherries and, you know, just. So for me, like the big thing was like getting into this tropical stuff, because I remember working at a hotel and they were doing like weird sauces. Like I'm like a banana, like cream curry. I was like, what is this? You know what I mean? But then when I tasted it, I was like, it's pretty damn good. Yeah, you know, you just got to level out your spice and whatnot. Yeah. But I remember feeling like the cuisines and what was going on down here is like, I felt like the restaurants have a tough go at it because it's so seasonal.
Yeah.
These summers down here, I don't know how of them make it, because the rents don't change.
Nope.
The rent's super high. And it's just like, you know, you get this burst of clientele and then it goes totally dark.
Yeah. And it, I mean, I guess that is a big challenge here. Like, there's a lot of places that don't make it, you know, they say a lot of restaurants don't make it past the first year.
Yeah.
That's really unfortunate, you know, and it's usually the ones that are really like passionate and trying to go out that don't make it. That really sucks.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Florida season is, it's crazy.
But did you want that for yourself coming here, like owning a restaurant? Was that like a thing? Like, did you?
It's been a thought, you know, like, but it's like, what do? You know what I mean? Like, me, like, what I learned was Asian food, you know? Mm-hmm. What I love to do is, like, fermentation. Mm-hmm. I love fermentation. I've been really into baking a lot recently, you know? I've been working on it.
Okay.
But, like, what kind of restaurant is, like, the right restaurant here? Because there's a lot that are successful.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, what do you really want to tie yourself to? Same idea with the food truck. Like, what's going to work?
Yeah.
You know? So that's, like, the thing that I don't know if I'm sold on ever. Like having a restaurant, maybe someday, but right now that's not like in my plan, you know?
Yeah. See, I'm kind of like negative on the whole restaurant thing, because I feel like if you got to rely on a bunch of people to make your money,
that too, also,
you're going to have a hard time. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just like everybody's,
the workforce, you know, is very difficult here right now too.
Definitely. You know, definitely. I've interviewed a lot of, you know, restaurateurs, and they're just like, we've been through like 150 people to find that right person that wants to work.
Yeah.
Be a manager that you can actually trust.
Yep.
It's like, I don't know, like the work ethic in Florida is much to be desired. It's very different. So yeah, that's one of the reasons I don't want to do a restaurant, is just relying on too many people.
Dude, I feel it.
Like being a one man show is pretty cool.
Yeah. If you screw up, then it's on you.
Right, like, right.
But yeah, man, I mean, and like, there's a lot of different, like there's a lot of movements right now too. Like there's a lot of people that are like, and this is, I don't know, it's good and bad. You know what I mean? There's people that are like being very transparent with their salaries. There's people like, and this is like healthcare and stuff too.
Yeah.
And there's that. And then there's like a movement on like TikTok and stuff. It's like work your wage, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, seriously, yeah, right?
I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
Yeah. But they're like, if you're paid to do this job, why are you going to do all this other stuff for another job? Which like, I'm like, I'm that person that would do all the extra stuff.
Yeah.
But I get where they're coming from. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of places that will work people like crazy, and then like they're disposable to them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I kind of understand both sides of the movement. It's that the workforce has definitely changed after COVID.
Yeah.
So I guess it's just like, who wants to be there is going to be there, you know? And
yeah,
I feel like the restaurant industry, especially in Southwest Florida, is really feeling that right now.
I always feel like I'm kind of like jealous of the people that can run like two or three businesses.
Yeah, how do you do that?
I don't know how you do it, because like with my life, I think a lot of people think, okay, you're a private chef, I see what you're up to, that you run into Publix, grab all your stuff, and you go to the house. It's not like that. I got a fish guy, I got a meat guy, I got a produce guy. So a lot of my time is spent running around grabbing this stuff, and I'm a little bit of control freak where I want to see the stuff before I buy it. I think I'd be a little weirded out where, hey, I got a truck coming with some fish that's not so great. You know what I mean? It's like,
that
screws me up.
Yeah.
So it's like, I get to go to the fish supplier. I get to see it in person and decide. Hey, I can call the client, hey, I'm not so into the grouper today. Can we switch the fish, red snapper or mahi, whatever? So that's kind of how I run things. But
no, that's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think I like that, you know, flexibility where I'm allowed to, hey, I can touch my avocado, make sure it's right.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, I can't put that control with somebody else.
You know? And I mean, I feel it. I've worked with a lot of the purveyors around here, you know, and there are some that are like, they're killer. They're on. They're
yeah, spot yeah.
on. You know, but then there are times you get stuff that you're like, wow, like this sucks.
Not what
and
I
then
wanted.
You have to send it back and forth a bunch of times. And
right.
Just waste time. You know?
And sometimes being a chef, you have to go to a different store to find the right mango.
Yeah.
If they're hard as a rock, I go, I got to go to the next one.
100%, yeah.
So that's another challenge, but yeah. Overall, it's been great. I was going to ask, what was your life like or what was going on with you during COVID? How'd that affect you?
So, I mean, I was working for a major caterer around here. I was working for Crave Culinaire, you know, shout out, whatever. Yep. And it was wild, man, because we were pumping. We were going hard, you know, it was cool. And we were, you know, we were about to do a bunch of like major events, right? Mm-hmm. I remember like, it was like Rookery on the Bay or something. It was something really big. And then we get the call that everything stopped. You have to, it's like 10%
canceled.
To a room
yeah.
or whatever. And we had to shift everything.
Yeah.
So there was the idea of doing a like to-go food. You mm-hmm. know, there was like the, you know, order ahead, then, you know, we drop it off or you pick it up kind of thing, the Crave To-Go program. And everything shifted to that.
Yeah.
And it was wild because, like, you would think people would, you know, I didn't think it was going to be as busy as it was. It was really busy for a while.
Okay.
So that's kind of how that shifted for a while.
So you were in a kitchen producing production where it's not, I'm going off site ever. So
no,
you were all trapped
for
in
a
that.
While.
Okay.
Yeah. Because you couldn't, you know, and a lot of people were really cautious. There's still people that are really cautious, you know, mm-hmm. and it's like, you know, at this point, it's kind of whatever. There's herd immunity.
Right, right.
But like, yeah, it was wild because you go from like catering all these events, doing all this stuff at a high volume, you know, and uh-huh. then it's like, wow, what are we going to do? You know?
Yeah.
But that
weird.
Idea really like saved that, you know? So that was really smart.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of COVID for me. After that, you know, kind of went back to normal. And then it was just like, we wore masks for a while. And then it was like, whatever, it's back to normal.
When you were doing these meals for people to go or whatever, were you still at that point considered a full-time employee or were mm-hmm. your hours cut back any?
I mean, well, my hours were cut back, but I was salaried. So it was like,
okay.
It was chill for me, honestly.
Okay.
I still did like, it was like over 40 hours probably for a while, just because we were getting stuff together, you know?
Right.
But no, never, nobody lost their job. Everybody was still, you know, there. It was
That's
just
great.
Just different for a while. You
yeah.
know?
See, for me, I have very fond feelings of COVID because my business basically doubled.
That's sick.
So the deal was maybe I had 2 weeks off where things were kind of confusing and we didn't know what we were doing. But luckily for me, I had some pretty higher end clients that were stuck here. That, hey, we're just going to stay down here. You know, they travel the world and have different homes everywhere. But they're like, we're going to stay in Florida and you're going to come to us pretty often. And we're just going to invite our close friends. We're going to space each other out and do whatever. And
there
I was like,
go,
let's go. So I was like, all right, the grocery stores are open. I could still do my thing. And I got a lot of random calls that were still doing small dinner parties.
That's awesome.
And, you know, my thing was if they wanted me to wear a mask, I did whatever they wanted me to yeah. do to make them comfortable. And I think as a chef, you know, it is your job to make people feel comfortable and go with whatever they want you to do. You do
yeah.
it. And I got to say the beauty of doing the private thing is, you know, you're basically in these people's lives for 3 or 4 hours and then that's it.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
know,
and it's kind of cool. You know, it's like to say, like, what it was at, Fight Club or whatever. It's
mm-hmm.
like single serving friends, you know,
yeah.
it's like single serving families.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
So like, I remember some parties that they were like, you're vaccinated, right? And I'm like, yeah. And then they'd be like, if you don't mind, we have a physician assistant in the house. We're going to do the swab test. And I'm like, all right, we can do whatever. And sure enough, I was definitely negative, but it was just a strange thing to go through. But you know, like when I see the masks, I mean, they worked out fine for me, and you know, I'm actually pretty grateful that little bump in the road happened that pushed our businesses higher.
Yeah, private events, stuff like that, definitely got more.
Yeah, I mean, I know restaurants took a beating.
Oh,
but
they did.
If
oh,
you were in the private sector here in Florida, thank God DeSantis gave us the opportunity to go to work every day.
Yeah,
and we were very fortunate, I would say.
Yeah, because a lot of places, like even New York, like it's totally different being up there. I was up there like month and a half ago, 2 months ago, something like that.
Yeah.
A lot of these places closed down. A lot
yeah.
of big places closed down because they couldn't handle it, you know?
Yeah.
And even up there, like, you'll see walking down the sidewalk and stuff now, there's like outdoor seating that they created with like plywood and stuff. It's just like, wow, that's so different than it used to be.
Right. Know? What were those first few parties like when you were going off site, going on, you know, these jobs and
after COVID?
Yeah. What was that like?
It was weird because it's like, it's familiar. You know what I mean? Like you know what you're doing and stuff, but it's like, how are these people going to act? You know, and you're thinking about everything. Like for me, I was like, I didn't want to get COVID. I got COVID eventually, but I didn't want to get it. So it was like making sure everybody was like washing their hands, hand sanitizer, having to add that to like the work vehicles, stuff like that. Making sure everybody had masks, making sure everything was like totally sanitized. Like if you're going to a client's home, like clean everything first with like Lysol or something and like make sure it's solid before you do anything.
Right, right.
Then there's like liability with like staff and then with them too, you know?
Right.
So it was just like, it was different. It was like the same, but different.
You know?
Just like that extra layer. You're not going to like talk as close as you would unless they like come up to you. You know what I mean? Like you're not going, you can go up to the table, but you're going to stand 10 feet back if you take your mask off.
Right.
You know, like.
Yeah. I had some rules that were like, hey, put the food down and step back real quick. And I'm like, all right, man, but I'm pretty okay. I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Where there was like, you guys set up in the garage, you stay in the garage and like
bring everything. Wow, that's different.
Yeah.
I've never had it that far away.
Yeah, there was some stuff, man. So it was the same but different, you know?
And then I remember like, let's say they had like a giant island type bar.
Yeah.
Where sometimes they'd be like, make the food, have it ready, and then call us. And we'll come grab our plates and go.
Yep.
So I've done it that way too.
We've had that too. it was like, go wait in the van and then come back in after.
You know? And then I was going to ask, like, you know, I know you're kind of in a transition phase, and I like to ask chefs, when do you decide at a certain point that, hey, I'm ready to go on my own and I'm going to change up instead of working for other people? When did you decide, or what was the move? What was going through your head through?
So, I don't know. I worked for a great company for like 4 years. You know,
yeah.
I retained like a lot. I learned a lot there. I really pushed myself there. I went through a lot of different things there. And I realized I'm good at this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I'm good at menu development. I'm pretty good at talking to people. Mm-hmm. I'm good at like events, you know, that's what I like to do. I've been in restaurants, you know, I've done that. There's good things about it. There's, you know, not so good things about it. So after that, when I was like, you know, I'm going to, you know, move on from this. I worked there for 4 years. It was awesome. It was great. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot there.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, I need to make the next move in my life. You know, I'm like almost 30. I want to make something of myself, you know, for me, not, mm-hmm. you know, for someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So when I moved on from there, at first I wanted to be like a banquet chef. Like I wanted to go work in a hotel. You know, I wanted to go do that kind of thing, kind of experience that on like an executive level. Corporate at an executive level is like, it's just something else. Yeah. Coming from where I was at to that, that wasn't where I wanted to make my name for myself. So after that, I was like, you know, what am I doing? Like, I have like a vision in my head of what I want to do, what I want to produce, and like a market that isn't really being touched by the others. Why not just do it myself? The same thing you said earlier, it's like, if you can rely on yourself and maybe like a couple close friends and stuff like that, you know, it's on you.
Yeah.
If something goes wrong, it's on you. If something goes great, it's on you. And the kind of food I want to do and stuff like that, it's just, it's easier to own it,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of what made me make that step in that, you know, phase right now, trying to figure out exactly what that step is. But I want to work for myself. I want to just kill it.
I mean, I think it's awesome. I mean, I think you're at a good age to go ahead and like do something different.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I mean, do it for yourself and kind of do it your way. I mean, there's nothing better than that. I mean, you know, I know all us chefs, like once we realize, oh, I see this guy doing a lot of food, I'll friend him or whatever. And we all become friends through social media.
Yeah.
But I remember, you know, like, you know, one of your peers, the chef Leon, he was the first to approach me, you know, direct message. Hey, chef, how do you do this? Or tell me the way to do it, like how much you charge, whatever. And I'm like an open book. I mean, if I can help another chef, I will. And he felt like he was ready.
Yeah.
And I'm like, look, man, you could do anybody could be just like me and do whatever I'm doing. You just got to put the time in.
Oh, yeah.
And just keep pounding the pavement. Yeah, get that clientele. And when I saw him that he moved on from his previous job and I saw him working for a family on private jets and traveling, I was proud of him.
Yeah.
I was like, no, hell yeah, man, you're doing it.
He's a great guy. Because
it takes a lot of balls to kind of go out there. Because, like, what happens if nobody calls me? I can't pay for my cars. I can't pay for my house. Yeah. But you know, I've been doing it 10 years, and I'm sure you're going to kill it, man.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate you.
So if you have any questions, you know, I'm like an open book, and you can always come to me about anything. And I just like to support local chefs and
thanks, man,
help out in any way I can. I just want to say thanks for coming on today.
100%. Thanks,
and I know you're going to do big things.
Thanks, man. Appreciate
you. All right, man.
You.
Have a good day.
You too.